The Russians ain't done winning yet. They don't want to stop where they are. They still have a quarter of Donetsk to take, and they still have a third of Zaporizhzhia and Kherson. So to climb down and draw the line where it is now, I think maybe it is absolutely impossible to ask that of the Russians, certainly in Donetsk. There were trial balloons. I saw someone said I was completely delusional about this, but I read in the Wall Street Journal that somebody in the Kremlin told them that they might be willing to climb down on Zaporizhzhia and Kherson. Now, I don't know if that was really what Putin told them to say, or, you know, how well that truly represents his point of view, but maybe. And is anybody even trying right now? You know, what we heard was we're going to go talk in Hungary because we think we got this solved. And then no. Lavrov talked to Rubio and they decided that we're not there yet. Well, how about just Lavrov talks to Rubio every day until this gets solved, right? At least Anthony Blinken isn't up there with his fingers in his ears refusing to answer the damn telephone. I mean, Blinken refused to talk to Lavrov.
And bragged about it, I'll point out.
Yeah. So at least they're talking. And I think, look, it ain't praise for Putin to say that the guy is a sober adult. He understands how dangerous it is to have NATO and the Russian Federation in a conflict like this as it exists now. And he understands the potential for this thing to slip out of control and all of that. You know, back to
you. Well, by the way, just according to Doug McGregor, who we had on earlier today, Donald Trump knows the same thing. So I would like to hope that we can get those two guys to finally come up and do whatever it takes to get this done, so we can actually literally end the killing and get this
done. One more thing on that, Danny. And I'm sorry if I said this on your show last week, but Richard Nixon went over there and shook hands with Mao Zedong, the guy who killed more people than any other person ever killed. Right? He's like Genghis Khan plus Tamerlane is Mao Zedong. And Nixon went over there and said, put her there, pal. You know what? Business is business, and you and I got to get along for reasons. And they shook hands, they made peace, and then they said, let the deputy undersecretaries meet and work out the details later. The big issues we can solve right now, but we're going to start with a handshake. We're going to start with we're friends now. Then we're going to work out the peace. Now, if Richard goddamn Nixon can work that out with Mao godforsaken tongue, then man, peace is possible. I just don't want to hear it, man. You know, Ron Paul, you say all the time, Jack Kennedy went and met with Khrushchev. Khrushchev. Like, do you not know who Khrushchev was? Khrushchev is the guy that did the Holodomor for Joseph Stalin. That's who he was. He was the guy that did the Holodomor. And Jack Kennedy said, hey, you know what? Instead of nuclear blowing all of ourselves up, we should sit at a table and talk, shouldn't we? Was Jack Kennedy washing the evil from Khrushchev? Was he like somehow justifying or sanctifying any of the actions that Khrushchev had ever taken? No, he was recognizing the fact that guess who's the general secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union right now? This guy.
Yeah.
And so that's who we have to deal with.
There
you go. I mean, that's all you need to know. To know that the precedent is set for any American leader to meet with any foreign leader and solve whatever problem outstanding. Sure.
Couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. Now that we've gotten that one resolved and we know what needs to happen.
That's right.
Let's take a look at the other issue, which is unfortunately bubbling up to the surface, which could be beginning. God help us if it gets there. But we can't ignore that a lot of things have been going on in our own hemisphere in Venezuela. And right now, the USS Ford, the aircraft carrier with 90 warplanes on board, is apparently only days away from being into strike range inside of the window to where they could attack in Venezuela. President Trump has not hesitated and shied back from saying he has given the CIA opportunity to go inside of and make attack targets inside of Venezuela. You've had both Lindsey Graham and Senator Scott have openly and exquisitely specifically said, yeah, I think that Maduro has to go. He'll either be assassinated, he'll flee, or we'll go and get him out there. I mean, that's as stark and direct as you can possibly get. Where the hell is this going?
God, I really don't know, man. And I don't know who's doing. You tell me if you know who's got really good reporting out of the White House. Maybe I should call Kurt Mills. He's got good connections. Like, there are very few people who have good sources in the White House who can tell us like what these people are really thinking. This could all be a show, or it could be that Rubio has really convinced the president that this is a doable thing. But, Venezuela is a huge country. It's much bigger than Iraq, has a massive population, and, you know, is just not the case. They're like, oh, they're going to greet us with candy and flowers, and all of this and thank America for invading their country and overthrowing their government. Just because they found some sock puppets to, you know, claim to wish to inherit the power if we can give it to them, doesn't mean that they have popular support whatsoever. And, you know, it's a very poor country, and the leftists in power are there by and large with the consent of the poor, and particularly, you know, the indigenous people and stuff like that. And so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. I do a lot of shows, Danny, but if we talked about this last week, but there's no American president, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or even Bill Clinton or anyone, where the American people would tolerate a foreign government intervening in our country to liberate us and remove this tyrant from power over our land. We would all join with whatever president to shoot them all to death first, and then we would take care of our domestic problem. Because, tell me if you've heard this one, independence matters first.
I've heard that somewhere. I can't remember.
Our tyrant is our problem. And the tyrant of Venezuela is the people of Venezuela's problem. And just like after September 11th, they have, you know, if you go to college, they call it the rally around the flag effect. It happens everywhere. You attack a country, people rally around their security force.
Here just earlier this year.
That's right. So it's just nonsense that, you know, in fact, in Iraq War II, it was slightly different, because in that situation, it was a massive ethnic type split. We had this super majority Shiite population that wanted rid of Saddam so bad, they were willing to stand back and watch us invade. But then as soon as America decided they were staying, Muqtada al-Sadr and his guys went to war within 1 year. You know, the Shiites started fighting and resisting and making it known that we were not going to be able to stay after even 1 year, after we got rid of the guy that they really did want us to get rid of for them, or at least were willing to stand back and not fight when we invaded you. There's nothing like that.
Let me ask you a question here. On this headline Gary's got showing up here from Politico, where Machado, after winning the Nobel Peace Prize, says, yeah, I want Trump to come in and use force to get Maduro out. That's really peaceful. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Again, look, remember the Russiagate hoax when they said that the Russians had installed Trump in power. Let's even say for hypothetical that was true, that we knew it was true at the time. And then Hillary Clinton had said, well, I demand that China intervene and overthrow Trump and install me in power to make it fair, because I should have won. What would we do? What would Americans think of that? Right? She would have less legitimacy than even Donald Trump, the recipient of the Russian assistance, because at least they didn't invade the country and kill a bunch of people to have their way. You know what I mean? It would just be it's the utmost absurdity to even draw the hypothetical, right? Hillary Clinton wouldn't dare to even consider that, as insane and hateful and horrible as she is. That would be the most counterproductive thing for her to do for her own interests. It's the same thing here. Is anyone in Venezuela think, oh, they find that really endearing, that this lady is asking the United States of America, imperial juggernaut overshadowing their everything, you know, looming over them to the north, that she's asking them to come invade to specifically give the power to her and her friends? I mean, goodness. Yeah, no. And look, we've seen this before. America's intervened in Venezuela off and on, you know, throughout this entire century. And just by the way, again, for your audience, in case anyone doesn't know me, I'm a libertarian. I'm the most anti-communist you could possibly be. The only thing I believe in, actually, is property rights. Okay? Like, there's nothing dumber than Marxist economics in the world. There's nothing worse for the people of Venezuela than having a leftist regime in their economic policies and the way that they've implemented and destroyed that country. And yet, the American empire is responsible for some major proportion of that. I don't know how to measure it exactly, but we've had a massive sanctions regime on that country since 2005. And so, you know, you could still be a commie government and yet hire a French corporation to come and pump your oil for you, right? But America makes it illegal for any multinational to come and do real business with them. right? We'll put sanctions on any country that, you know, they even had to have an Iranian firm come and open some grocery stores there because no one else in the world will do business with them. And so that's a huge part of the Venezuelan illegal immigration problem in this country right now is not just because of the communism of Chavez and Maduro, but because, well, or the social, whatever it is, it's very commie, not entirely Marxist, but on top of that is the Americans, the Treasury Department, right? It's like the third most powerful force in the world after the DOD and the CIA, right? Maybe more powerful than the CIA. A Treasury can put your whole country under a stranglehold. And so it's the same thing we've done with Cuba since the 1960s, right? When we could have just killed them with free market capitalism a long time ago if we had just traded with them away and people could just see the benefits of markets and prices and property rights. And communism is, if you ask the Cubans, they'll tell you, communism is a good way, or their communist government has kept them independent from us. It has not provided a good standard of living or freedom for
them. Yeah, no, I've been to Cuba and I have talked to them. That's exactly what they say.
Yep. And so, look, independence first, the same as anybody. And so, and look, this is my take on the whole damn terror war and the whole new order of this era. I mean, remember the 1990s, Danny, when the year 2000 was still looming ahead of us. What's it going to be like after the year 2000? What is, George H.W. Bush called it the new world order. Well, what is the world order going to be? Well, what it should have been was a Ron Paulian foreign policy. I'd settle for Pat Buchanan, but Ron's better. And that means you bring everybody home, but you have open trade, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none, just like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington said. And then what we could do is we could beat the world over the head about all the things that are wrong with their societies, such as they're too commie and don't have enough freedom, for example, without being blood-soaked hypocrites, see, and without having a dog in the fight, where what this is really about is a contest between Chevron and Exxon. Chevron wants to lift the sanctions and do business with Maduro. Exxon wants to murder him and steal their oil. Well, is that how we determine American foreign policy? Can't we just have the CEO of Chevron and Exxon just like duke it out in the MMA ring or something, and then but we keep the peace with Venezuela? It shouldn't be like this at all. And
no,
there,
it shouldn't.
You know.
And that's something that I'm actually a big advocate of. But as it turns out, and I want to bring this up because I know a lot of people are probably listening to this going, man, that what he, this guy's saying makes a lot of sense. They may not know who Ron Paul and some of these other, or some of the younger people. But as it turns out, there is a Scott Horton Academy coming out pretty soon, a foreign policy, where you can actually inculcate some of these ideas. So if you could tell us a little bit about this and then tell people how they can find out more about this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Danny. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. Well, so it is the Scott Horton Academy of Foreign Policy and Freedom. And that is a homage to the great Dr. Paul, his great book on his speeches on foreign policy from the House floor called A Foreign Policy of Freedom, which is absolutely fantastic, by the way. And so I named it as a homage to my hero there. And this is just like Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom, where he has all these great historians and economists and so forth teaching the college education that you should have gotten college, but didn't. And so, but he built me my own. And what it is very long form courses by myself and other experts on foreign policy and other matters of freedom.
For generations, the United States has had a one party system.
Promo video there, which you'll find on the bottom of the splash page. And essentially, it's a very long form courses by me on the Middle East and the Cold War with Russia, which that course is not quite up yet, but it will be coming very soon. I've got the great James Bovard from the New York Post and the Libertarian Institute, the great libertarian journalist on 40 years of investigative journalism. I've got Ramzi Baroud, my Palestinian friend and regular writer at antiwar.com, who's done the reality of the Israel-Palestine conflict. And Bill Buppert, I told you about my good buddy, Bill Buppert, who you'd love this guy. You guys should be friends. I'll connect you. And he's a former Army captain or lieutenant colonel and was a contractor, trained Afghan troops and all that, was attached to special operations forces and divisions around the world for a very long time and been everywhere as a combat tourist, he says. And his course is called Trail of Tears, American Stalemate and Military Failure Since 1945. And it's just fantastic stuff, top of the line stuff. And we got more and more courses coming all the time, including as I said, my Cold War course is coming. C.J. Kilmer on how Woodrow Wilson is the worst person who ever lived, because of course he was the father of Hitler and Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Truman. And then also we've got this guy, Adam Francisco, who is a Lutheran scholar from Concordia University, who's going to be debunking not exactly just dispensationalism, but essentially all of Christian Zionism from a highly educated and scholarly Protestant point of view there, which I think people are going to find very interesting. All that's coming. It's at scotthortonacademy.com. And you know what? If you do promo code Danny, give me like 20 minutes. And if you use promo code Danny, we'll get you a discount at scotthortonacademy.com.
Very good. Can I get the discount myself? I'm just
absolutely. You can.
Very good. Well, listen, we really appreciate that, and look forward to hearing more about that as it goes going on, and what kind of response it may get. Any kind of something that's besides what just the standard old military-industrial congressional complex puts out there, which is like 95% of everything. All about something that has a different perspective. We're a big fan of it. So thanks for coming on, and look forward to seeing how that works out.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
And thank you very much, folks, for you coming out with us today. By the way, we're going to be back here in just about 35 minutes. America's Next Civil War Update 4. You know, I've been talking about a lot of the things that have been roiling in our past that give some dark possibilities if we don't make some changes. And so I've got this series where I'm going to be talking about what we need to avoid and what you need to be aware of. And given what happened in a lot of elections last night in New York, New Jersey, and right here in Virginia and California, things you need to know about, but things you might not be aware of if you're just watching the mainstream news, tune in at 3:30 p.m. today, and I will update you there. Look forward to seeing you then on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.